Bless you, Jesus. Agora solo macristi di diete. Mende cara sola cristimi. Bole macandesti ambla cristete. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Father. For I'm calling you out, saith the Spirit of grace. As a body, as individual believers, I'm calling you and I'm wooing you, petitioning you, desiring of you. As a lover, as one who desires to be loved, come in my presence in this year like you never have before. For I am no respecter of persons, saith the Spirit of grace. And as you've heard the testimonies through the years of those patriarchs and forefathers and great men of faith and whose presence brought men under conviction because my presence was so strong upon them. Aspire to this place. Spend time in my presence. Press the envelope of my presence. Go to places because I can tell you, children, there are places that you have never ever begin to taste in my presence that is available for you. You're striving in yourself, even the want to doesn't bring you there. But it's as you spend time in my presence, my grace changes you from glory to glory. For I desire a people that my presence is upon them 24 hours a day, all through the night, in all the things of life, in all things that are carnal, mundane, usually without anointing, that the world may know and the world may sense my presence. This is the revival that you speak of. Challenge yourself for the want to. Challenge yourself for places. Do not look to the right or the left to see who's going with you. Not even a spouse do not look to see. Not a child, not a father, not a mother. You choose yourself. And I'll reward you individually. And the reward is my presence. The reward is my sustaining presence. The reward is the fearlessness that comes where perfect love casts out all fear. This will be your sustenance against all trials. And this will be that which flows out of you for those who will drink of the river that is within you, saith the Spirit of grace. Do not wait for man to exalt you. I desire to exalt you. I desire to place my hand upon you. None of you, not even the one speaking, present tense, knows the depth of what is available in my presence. There's fullness of joy. In my presence, there's places that up till this point, I've wanted you there. But you've not been able to come, or you've not provided a place for yourself to come. Come, saith the Spirit of grace. Come and drink of this water and be filled. Be filled. We glorify you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Pecarasolo mandi. Praise the Lord. Amen. I appreciate all of you that are here and those that are you watching. I would say that there's no better place for me to be than to be in His presence the last day of the year. Hallelujah. And to be with you. Glory be to God. So we are, I'm going to share for a little bit, and in a little while we're going to receive communion. And as I said Sunday before last, that if you're watching, and I hope that you are, now would be a good time in the next few moments to prepare for that. Maybe you can go to the refrigerator, get something to serve yourself, or some bread, a cracker. A little bit later, we'll have communion. I wish you were here, and you are here. So praise the Lord. We'll begin to share here in just a little bit, but we're going to have fellowship after a while, and I hope you stay around, everyone, for the fellowship. I don't know that we'll stay here to midnight, but that's okay. We're here the last day of the year, and I'm anticipating good things. Praise the Lord. Well, Sunday was great, wasn't it? We had a good time. Just fantastic. I'm anticipating some healings tonight. There's a couple of men in here that I've talked to today individually. They don't even know that I have talked to the other one, but they've got similar kinds of things going on in their bodies, and they need a healing. And we're going to have a communion service at the end. That is a wonderful place to receive your healing, is in communion. And we've been saying now for a while, encouraging you, especially after we heard some incredible teachings last year, the year before, I think it was, when Gary did on communion. And it's encouraged all of us, and I've been encouraging you to take communion at home. And but we get to take communion here together tonight. So praise the Lord. Amen. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Perfect. Yes, sir. I like that. That's good. We're going to talk about losing weight for the new year. Candy said, "Can't really, Bronk, really, losing, yeah." Somebody said, "That's the skinny people you're saying, yay." Lose weight for the new year, and of course, you know, I wouldn't be mean enough, even to myself, to be teaching tonight about losing weight for the new year in a physical sense. Obviously, we're going to go another direction. How about before we get started? How about this T-shirt? Somebody read it for me, because it's upside down for me.
Pastor, because Hardcore Devil Stomping Ninja isn't an official job title.
Hallelujah. Job title. Woo, yes. Hallelujah. Did everybody hear that? Okay, glory. I appreciate it. Somebody got it for me, one of my daughters, for Christmas, so it was really cool. I appreciate that. So we're casual tonight. Let me just start out with prayer. Let's do that. Father, we just thank you. Your presence is so wonderful. This last half hour, 45 minutes, has just really been so peaceful. And out of it, you begin to speak the word of prophecy. I pray that, Father, that each one of us take it to heart. That, Lord, from what I hear you saying, you've challenged us again and again and again to individually go in, see how far we can go. Please, Abba, beginning first with myself, I pray that in the days ahead that I'll seek your face like I have never, ever in my whole life sought you. Lead us together. Let all of us have one unison heart as a threefold cord that cannot easily be broken. I pray that the desires of our hearts will be to know you and to be filled with you and to walk in your presence and intimacy like we never have before. Lord, Holy Ghost, I thank you that you are here to manifest the Word of God, the power of the Spirit. Lord, lead us now with the continuation of our hearts and minds, the development, what He desires for us to hear, to see, to be a part of in this new year. And we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hebrews 12:1, I think you probably guessed that we're certainly not going to talk about weight control at this point in time. But Hebrews 12:1 says this. Now, you can turn to these scriptures or you can listen. And I love it when you turn there. But Hebrews 12:1 says this. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, how many would agree? I think this is a rhetorical question. How many of you know that we have a race that has been set before us? We've been given a divine commission. We've heard from the Lord. Who heard from the Lord? You, Pastor, every single one of you that are here and those of you that are watching, you join your heart with me to say, you know, I could go around the room, but there's elders that are sitting here and saying, you know, we would probably be someplace else if the Lord hadn't kept us here and said, we know, not that they would go out of division, but, you know, just move here, move there. But we know that we're called to help you bring forth a revival. Amen. So that's all of us. We've been called to a race. This is all for one purpose. The word wait here, we've taught on this, exhorted this before, but it bears repeating tonight. And this is where we're getting our spin off of our title, Lose Weight for the New Year. The word wait in the Greek is 3591 and is in the Strong's. It is oinkos, probably from the same, and it gives another Greek definition. It means this, a mass, as in bending or bulging by its load, i.e., that means, for example, it's a burden or a hindrance, a weight. Now, I went a little further in the Greek besides for the Strong's, and it means this, a tumor, magnitude, a weight, a burden, impediment. It impedes, it stops, it keeps back. This year must be, we must continue to be laser focused. We must lose what Hebrews is describing here as the weight. We must lose that part because he makes a distinction here, and we've done it before, but he makes a distinction between, listen, we've hammered, haven't we hammered sin in this past couple of years? I mean, and we're going to continue to teach as the Holy Spirit. And yesterday was really good because we were able to break down those Greek words, and we've got a couple more places to go, and people were edified. We went out of here really not feeling down, but uplifted, even going through places in three places where it says, will not inherit. They will not inherit, will not inherit. But we saw all that as our part as being ministers, not of condemnation, but of life. But this tonight, what he's speaking to us. He's speaking to us as a church. This is something I hope that you receive as an individual, like I myself am receiving, because the Lord wants to get a little bit closer. He wants to get to a place where he takes us into this final last part of everything he wants to do for us. This year we must continue to be laser focused. We must lose the weight. Now we've heard that term. How many have heard us use that term over the last few years, laser focused? Just get really laser focused. May God rid us of all unordained distractions. All unordained distractions. Not even having a few. Not even a few. We're not talking, I think at this point in time, you understand, and I hope you have a sense of we're God's spearhead for revival. So when he begins to talk to us about honing things in and correcting things and bringing things into a closer where he wants us to be, this is all for us to be corrected, to be used mightily in the days ahead. He's getting ready. He really is getting ready for us to be mightily used. And when I say not even a few, listen, one of the things I used to love as a kid or as a young man, I would read through the Old Testament, and I loved all those, you know, I'd go through, you know, Chronicles and Kings. They're parallel books, and you'd read about all those ancient kings, and I would read them and read them and read them, and primarily the kings of Judah were the best. You had very few that were of Israel's stock. You know, the kingdoms of Southern Kingdom, Northern Kingdom. Northern Kingdom was Israel. Southern Kingdom was Judah. And you found very few kings after David and Solomon that really served the Lord. But every once in a while, you'd skip a beat and you'd find somebody, and you would read their life history, and it would talk about all the exploits that they did. And I would be, wow, this is cool, this is cool. This guy followed the Lord, followed the Lord, followed the Lord. But what was so amazing, and I bet you there's several places, several of those kings, that it would go to the end of their life, and then it would end the story of their life, and it would say this, nevertheless, the high places were not removed from Judah and the high places were places of idol worship, and they were places of secret places where people would stow away, and they would go away, and they would have their little rendezvous with idols. And so it would talk about what those kings would do and how that they would do just great exploits, but they never went to the place where they ever got rid of everything. It was like there was a stash. There was still a stash left somewhere hidden in the house. And it would just break my heart. Now I understand, as we've been taught the born again trail, why those guys never could obtain. But the picture is this: we who are, and we who have the ability to obtain, we have the ability not just to slay Goliaths, but also to go to all those other places that we somehow neglect. The new nature screams. The new nature screams about fornication, adultery. Those are contested things around here. And we went through a whole litany of all those other things yesterday, didn't we? That was really good. And, the hatred and the envy and all that stuff, jealousy. But some of those other things, and I'm not even talking about that, can spy. They can stay in places where they stay underneath. And I think that's what I'm hearing the Lord say, that like never before in this year and the days ahead, He wants to see us allow Him to begin to pull down the high places. Praise the Lord. Mark 4, you don't have to turn there. You can. Mark 4, 20 and 28 reiterate what the Holy Spirit was just saying. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Skipping down to verse 28, it says, for the earth, Jesus is speaking in both of these, He said, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. It's okay to be 30-fold or 60 if you're in a continual state of progression, of growth, but many, many are living at 30-fold when at this time they should be living somewhere between 60 and 100. I'm just talking about myself. Now, when I tell you guys that the pleasure that I feel from the Lord, I'm not trying to, in my quiet time, a major part of my quiet time, I'm testifying to you, and I think many of you could testify the same. I pray that a major part of your quiet time is intimacy. And in intimacy, there's something that's given over to me. Call it a pat on the back, or it's not a pat on the back. That's too superficial. It's a squeeze. It's a hug. It's a loving sense of affirmation, And because of that, it makes me want to do more. But at the same time, I know that my commander-in-chief, if he was to sit down after he loved on me, if he rides in my truck and we ride around for the day, we're going to have a wonderful day, and he's going to talk to me, and I know he's going to start out with love, and I know we're going to just, it's going to be a time of respect and love, but also a friendship. But I know at some point he's going to tell me, Bronk, at this point in time, son, 20 years later, from the time that I first gave you this, I really expected you to be a whole lot further along. I really expected you to be raising the dead and casting out devils and creating a swath through your part of Florida. I really do. So I know that I'm still in a place of, I should have been there already. But it doesn't create an anxiousness. It's just knowing that there's a place to go to. Hallelujah. It's not okay. That's what I'm saying. Gary said it. I don't think that he would just come and say, it's okay. It's just okay that you haven't done it yet. He wouldn't do that. He loves me. He's like, I love you. I appreciate for where you're at. But Gary says he wouldn't give us an attaboy. And if we don't take that attitude, then we'll never get there. Hallelujah. This is a year of catch up. Our strength of motivation does not come from the natural sources of willpower. There's no, you know, we've at least we're this far where we know that we can't just grit our teeth, determine to get stronger, do more. That doesn't get it. The whole thing is, it goes down to this. You've heard me say this, and I believe that you agree with me. I'm speaking to some people that agree with me. That's why it's easy to preach. It always comes down to one thing. Will you pray? Bronk, will you pray? Yes, sir, I will. Bronk, will you go into that place that takes you where, listen, I don't want, what I want more than anything else is that when I come in that door, I mean, you guys are great. You're just a loving family. You tell me all the time, Pastor, I really appreciate that message. It was really wonderful, and I sense your love. But if there's anything that I would love to do at 2020, I would love to come into that year, not with you giving me accolades like I feel like you need to brag on me, but you say, in yourself, you don't even have to tell, that man went to another level. My God, that man went to another level. That man's anointing, that man's presence, when he walks in, I can feel it. I can feel his love. I can feel the authority that he walks in. But I'm telling you, that's not just for me. Please, please. We may have a tinge of jealousy that we have to get over, but that's all right. We'll fast it out. If you come in and you won't, if it's on you for the right reasons, it won't get on you where it stays on you, where you take the pride of it. But please, I'm begging you, outrun me. If you can, outrun me. If you can, go to a place where the anointing gets so strong on you that people sit down beside you and say, my God, she went to another level. I don't know what's going on in your life. Not that you're asking people, what are you doing? How are you? I don't care about people saying, are you losing weight? Boy, you look like you're buffed. Or I hope you ladies are not like, you know, your thing is not like, boy, you're really looking good. That's wonderful. Go to a place where people are wondering, my God, there's something on them. I don't know what's on them. They're dead now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. The whole thing is, again, will we pray? And I believe we will. I believe we will. I believe we're going to get there. For us, it's not to try harder. It's not to love more. We used to laugh about going to hear people talk about, you need to love more, or you need to do this, or you need to, wonderful, but tell me how. See, this is the thing. What we do aspire, and we don't always achieve it. And you know, I'm looking back there, and there's a brother that's not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. I should have had him filled with the Holy Spirit by now. He's here. I talked to him earlier today. He's here. I appreciate that. But I should have had him tongue-talking before now. He's been saved about 3 weeks. Listen. Here's the thing. What we aspire to do is not only tell you that you need to get there, but to give you the minutest way, I mean minute details, if you do this. That's an example, me praying in tongues. That was not to be, you know, interpreted. That's an example. But if you get filled, once you're filled, and you begin a prayer life of praying in tongues, you begin that process. There's worship, and there's, you know, we know the gamut of the, you know, the whole thing. There's praying in tongues, and there's the meditation of the word, and confession of the word, and worship, and then of course where we're headed, you know, fasting. Yeah, okay. And you know what? Honestly, you will begin to, the closer you get to Him, the more you'll love that. You'll love the effects of it. You won't love it for the first, but I'm telling you, even fasting has its own high. It really does. After a while, once you get into it, you can feel the deadness of your flesh and the closeness that it brings to you, him and you. I can hear Isaiah 58 is never, it is always so true. That when he says, when you fast, you will hear His voice. It says you'll hear His voice on high, and there's times in fast, and I bet there's many of you in here that once you get past the fog, and once you get past, you know, the termination of like, I'm not going to eat, or I'm not going to eat, the presence many times will get so strong, it's like His voice is like the strongest voice you hear. Hallelujah. And that's where we want to go. That we want to hear His voice. And of course, you don't stay in a fast, but His presence stays with you all the time. And as I said, or as the Holy Spirit was saying, yet in all of this, you will still, you know, you can offer all of this. And we all know this. I'm telling you something we all know. We can all tell you, if you pray, it will cause you to go in. If you worship, it'll call. But the bottom line is, you can offer all of these inroads, but the bottom line is, you still have to do it. That's the scary part. There's nothing, all those things, it's like an inertia. All those things will accentuate your will. In other words, they'll kind of like encourage you, come on, do it, do it, do it. But in the bottom, when it all comes down to it, the scary part is, you've got to say yes or no. It will not make you do any of it. Tongues won't make you pray more. It won't cause you to worship more. Fasting will bring you, it will accentuate the new nature. It's a backup to the new nature. But the bottom line is, it only reinforces something you could have done all to begin with. The no that you say after 30 or, you know, 5 days of fasting or 3 days of fasting, you could have said no to it to start with. Okay. Starting tomorrow, now this is where the natural comes in a little bit to exemplify what I'm saying. Starting tomorrow, January 1st, gymnasiums and workout facilities across America will have their annual membership joining spike. That's where they make all their money right now. Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, and workout equipment suppliers will see their biggest sales of the year. They love the first. By March, really, really, by March, it's no longer than March. By March, there will be a dramatic drop in the sales of equipment, monthly subscriptions to diet plans, and the gyms will once again return to the same number of people that were there attending before January 1st. I hated this time. Now I work out at home, and I have for several years. I put a gym in my garage. I hated this time of year when I was a gym member because I'm a circuit trainer. I like to go from one thing to the next, and I don't like to wait, and I don't like to talk. Even if I have a workout partner, I don't like to talk. I like to go, 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 go. And I have like a one-minute rest period, and I just go to the next thing. During this time, you've got three times the amount of people. And somebody's sitting there that has never been there. God bless them. God bless them. And they're sitting on your bench or your lap machine or, you know, your leg press or something, and they're just talking. And you're like... Yeah, I'm in a circuit here. I'm like, my heartbeat, I'm, you know, like I'm trying to keep it up and I'm trying to move to the next, and you're just, and you know what we did next? And I'm like, but all that aside, really, the world tries to do it all through willpower. That's why, you know, if you just wait a couple months, it's vacant again. I watched it 10 years. It just always clears out. Why? Because it's ups and downs, ups and downs. We're not created like that. That does work in our life like that often. But we're created with something that will sustain our willpower if we go to the place of prayer. That is where grace is multiplied. That's where that strength is initiated. It only adds to. Now, there are people in the world that are not born again, spirit-filled, and they're committed. They're committed to those kinds of things. They're committed to diets. They're committed to workout. They're committed to making millions of dollars. And they're just super-willed people. But that's not the majority of people. But we as Christians, we have something that will empower our willpower. That's what he does. He empowers our willpower to say, I will go into you. I will follow you. We're getting close enough that even, now listen to this, we're getting close enough to where we should be that even really good, and I say normally God things, cannot distract us from His perfect will for our life. God is intending on having this revival. Now you can turn there, you can listen. Hebrews 12:11 says this. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And the part that I wanted you to hear was verse 13, make straight paths for your feet. Know what your intent is and follow that path. That's basically the truth. Don't get distracted. Let His word, that's even what the Hebrew writer was saying, let the correction heal you, but for it to heal you, you've got to stay in your lane. You understand that? You've got to stay in a path, a straight path. It's time for straight paths. Let's stay in our lanes. Remember, Paul had to stay in his lane and had to help and had... to be helped by the Holy Spirit to do so. I'll read this for you. And this is just to reiterate, okay? This is just to reiterate the example of 30, 60, and 100. Only 100-fold is going to yield revival, okay? Only 100-fold. And that's what we've got to be pressing for. And there's good, acceptable, and perfect. We can't even... 30 will get you to heaven. 10 will get you to heaven as long as, you know, in that First John series, one pixel. You know, we're talking about, like, if you have a high-definition TV, it's got thousands of little pixels that create the colors and everything. Listen, If you're born again, you go to heaven. If the life of God is still in you. That's not our discussion. Our discussion is going to a place where the Holy Spirit, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto him to whom we have to do." What it's talking about is the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, wants to, the word of dividing asunder is the word merismos. It's like a fine surgeon takes a scalpel and creates an incision that lays the flesh apart from the spirit, and he divides with such precision that only the Holy Spirit, by the word of God, brings forth the interpretation and exposes it. When he says, neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, he's not talking about some creature feature or something out there. He's talking about the creature of the person on the inside. In other words, the more you go into God, whatever about you that it's not fixed, or whatever about you that you say, okay, why am I not being used? Or why am I staying like I am year after year? I can't answer that, but I can tell you who can: the Holy Spirit. And he can divide asunder soul and spirit to the point where he can reach in there and change things. And that's what he wants to do for us. He wants to change us to a place where acceptable is not good enough. Except, oh my God, we go to heaven. Listen, we stop right here, and as long as you guys don't go back into bars, we go to heaven, all of us. I'm not wanting to just go to heaven. I'm wanting to give him a revival. Hallelujah. An absolute outpouring. She says amen. She says amen. Listen to what Paul, you've heard this before, but it bears repeating, reading again. "Now when they had gone," this is an episode in his life. Luke records it. He was traveling with Silas at the time. He said, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia," they thought about preaching the word in Asia. But the Holy Spirit said, "Nope, don't want you to go. That is a distinct, like, stay in your lane. This is where we're at. Even good godly things are unacceptable for us when it's not perfect." Well, I went there and prayed for him. And you know what? If he'd have went to Asia, he'd have probably had, the Holy Spirit would have not left Paul. He'd probably got some people healed. Your report of what happened when you went is not an affirmation that you should have gone if God told you to go over here. Well, God did wonderful things. I know, but listen, this is where the merismos is at. This is where the dividing asunder. Paul thought about going to Asia. The Holy Spirit said, "Nope, I don't want you to go to Asia right now." Then he turned his thoughts to this, and they were come to Messiah. They assayed. The word assayed means to think about or to weigh out. They weighed out to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, suffered them not. Nope, don't want you to go there either. It's like, boy, we're bouncing off the wall here. It's a perfect example. "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision," immediately, Luke was recording this, "he said, 'We endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel with them.'" That's a perfect example, perfect example. We've got something to read here, so I've got to speed up here a little bit. But listen, there's nothing better than that, to see that the Holy Spirit, here's the intent of Paul's life: I'll go preach the gospel. Nope, I'll go over. Nope. See, that's where we have to be in 2019, okay? Listening. We can't afford to waste time. We have not been called to do our own works in his name. Okay, there's a phrase in the face-to-face, and we're going to read some face-to-face document tonight, but there's a phrase that it might not be exactly said, that the Holy Spirit said it exactly like that to Gary years ago, but it's close. We have not been called to do our own works in His name. We have been called to do the works of the Father in Christ's name, according to His direction. See, that's where so many people do. You know, they will do their own works, but they will cover that by using His name. That's not where we're at. We have to be, where do you want me to go? See, I just know that Jesus, that's how He lived His whole ministry. I just know, see, because there were people, the day that He raised the boy at Nain, there were other people in other cities dying that day. They died. There were people died, and they put them in the ground, and He didn't go resurrect them. But He was right where the Father wanted Him to be on that day. See, that's where we've got to be. We can't be like, I'm gonna run. I'm gonna be a bull in a china. This is a time only intimacy divides that. Only intimacy. Hallelujah. We can't afford to waste time. Weights can be different than blatant sins. That is in the Greek. It's different. It's the two words in Hebrew. They're not in the Hebrew, they're in the Greek because it's the New Testament, but in the book of Hebrews, two totally separate words concerning weight and sin that so easily beset us. Weights, listen to this, weights can be different than blatant sins or blatant sin. Weight can rest sometimes in a permissible state of our conscience. Now, you're not going to, listen. If you're in here tonight on a pre-New Year's Eve service or a New Year's Eve service, a pre-year service, you're serious, okay? I'd say most everybody in here is serious. The thought of those blatant sins, those deal breakers, those deal breaker thoughts may come to you at times, but they don't stay not 2 seconds. Because your spirit, your mind just automatically is like, no way possible. But weights are different than sin because weight is, if we go back to our original definition, they're impediments and they will impede. They will bend over, that to be bent. They are things that can be passive. In other words, sometimes you'll defy your conscience. You wouldn't defy your conscience on adultery or fornication, those of you that are going forward. But weights are things that you're like, they're not sin per se, but they're the things that bend us over in obedience, like, son or daughter, I'm asking you to do this. Come aside. Spend time. And is everybody still with me? I think you are. The only way to truly lose the weight is to become so intimate with God that even the permissible is screaming for change. Do you understand that? Okay, maybe. Okay. Blatant sins scream. We don't even get it. They're a siren. I mean, it's like, we don't even go there. You know. Porno? No. Absolutely not. And I'm not boasting. I'm just saying that's the men that walk with God. No, absolutely not. But weights are that last 30, the last level of for me, hey, big boy, are you going to go in? Are you going to spend the time? Are you going to fast? Are you going to pray? Now, this is just me as a pastor. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what He's asking you. But you won't hear the weights. You won't hear the voice of Him changing weights except through intimacy, because in intimacy, you want to, you love Him so much that even things that are permissible begin to scream aloud, I can't stay. I don't want to stay. And that's where revival lives. Hallelujah. Can I get you guys to pass out these? I'm going to tell you in advance what I've got here. The Holy Spirit, we're going to go through this real quickly, and then we're going to, well, not too quickly, then we're going to have communion. But, oh, let me grab one from you, either one. This is a copy of one of the face-to-face documents. I've been reading them this past year and a half, and they've been a blessing to me on a continual basis. And the face-to-face documents, for those of you that are watching, they are something that the Holy Spirit shared with Gary Carpenter a number of years ago. They're on his website, face-to-face documents. Didn't check where to exactly tell you how to find that. His site is real friendly, so you should be able to find it pretty easy. But this one particular, I was reading last week, this one particular one stood out so strong. And when I'm just real quick, years ago he had an encounter, an intimacy. It was like a week. I don't know how long it lasted. It must have lasted a week, 2 weeks. I'm not sure. I haven't ever asked him that. But it sounded like it, because it was like, it sounded like it was consecutive days when you read through them. But the Holy Spirit came to him on an intimate basis and spoke to him on a face-to-face experience. But it was a prophetic experience, not just for him, but for the entire body of Christ. And he's used that through the years to speak to all of our hearts. But this evening, I want to read this to you, and I want you to follow along with me, because I know it speaks prophetically for all of us here at this church, and I believe for anyone that is watching for this year, which is to come. It's called, or he termed it, entitled it, Marking the Trail. This is what the Holy Spirit began to speak. Does everybody have one? Does everyone have one? Okay. Be not wise in your own eyes. This is what the Lord said to him. But learn to turn to me. I will lift you up where your eyes can see from my perspective, says the Lord. From that vantage point, which is above, you can see the objectives. You can see the entire picture. With earthbound eyes, you see obstacles as trees in all directions. With earthbound eyes, you spend your life in futility, cutting down trees all around you in every widening circle, in an ever-widening circle, but with no direct path, with no direct goal, with no clear vision, not knowing which direction is the path of the Lord for you. And I think this is very important for us, and I hope it catches your heart, and I hope you go home in the next few days and say, Lord, give me a direct path. Make straight paths for my feet. Because what we don't want to do is, we don't want to fret any part of our church. I'm speaking as a senior pastor. Any part of our church that's frailing, we want to go forward. I don't want to just fight harder. I don't want to fight harder. I want to fight harder in a direct path, a distinct path, a path that is taking me somewhere. The enemy would have you continue your warfare with earthbound eyes. But when I give you eyes to see from above, from the throne's perspective, then you can see where you are, and you can see where you shall be. Then those obstacles that are in your path can be removed in a straight line. Yes, there are obstacles that will come down, reasonings, thoughts, imaginations, even things of the flesh that must go. But your progress will be meaningful and swift and with purpose as you allow me to lift you up and see the entire mission with heavenly eyes. Eyes that see from above. Now see, that's where intimacy takes us. It takes us in a seeing the whole thing in perspective. This is part of my purpose. This is part of my mission. This is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, face to face. This is a portion of what I do for the sons who serve the living God. See the vision I am painting in your spirit right now. See yourself in a vast forest with trees in all directions. But see now as I lift you up higher and higher above the forest. See that clearing up ahead? This is where the Lord desires for you to go next. Now that you see that direction, then my direction comes as a compass so that you know the path and you know which tree must fall next and which tree must fall after that and which tree must fall after that. Your vision becomes single-minded, not frailing away at obstacles in all directions, but rather now removing obstacles in a straight line. The shortest path to get you to the next clearing where the Lord desires you to be. In that clearing, there shall be water, there shall be refreshing, and there shall be increase of anointing. Everybody said hallelujah. This is how my direction comes. No more exerting effort in all directions, creating only a wider circle that leads down no distinct path, but rather following my instructions, cutting away those obstacles that are on the direct path where the Lord desires you to walk. This is how my direction comes. This is why he told you to give heed and place the utmost priority on those things which I reveal to you. Those are the things that must be removed in order for you to apprehend that for which you have been apprehended. I will not have you working on vain things that pertain not to your call. I will have your energies directed towards those obstacles that remain on the direct path of his call for your life. Place the utmost priority and put first those things which I reveal to you, for those are the obstacles that must be removed to take you step by step from glory to glory into the same image of him who birthed you. In words that you can understand, I say to you that your reasonings that for a season you are in a period of catch-up. Your actions and your activities have caused you to run far ahead of my counsel. You have worked very hard, working in a circle, cutting and hitting on many trees. Yet, when you look back to the center of the circle, you see that you really have not traveled very far. Remember and never forget the futility of your own ways, says the Lord. If you will remember, you will not repeat it. Now you have laid down the axe for a season, and you have come to lie down in green pastures and drink of those still waters. This is where I will feed your spirit with the very mind of Christ. This is where I will refresh you in every way, spirit, soul, and body, with the refreshing of my counsel and with the refreshing of my presence. You have now, in a new way for you, entered into my rest. Again, in words you can understand, I say to you, endure this season of catch-up, for I will bring you to a place of being ahead of the game. During this process of giving you eyes that see from above and setting the course towards the next clearing which he has ordained you for you, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits shall be so developed in you that there shall be nothing that takes you by surprise. You will not be asking me questions as you are today. What shall I do about this present situation? Rather that than that, you will sit and receive my counsel, and I will tell you, this is what is coming. When it comes, do this. This is a walk of a much higher degree of safety. This is where I will take you, says the Lord. Understand and know that the gifts are for God's servants, whether those servants be sons or slaves. I give them. I manifest them for God's servants. They are yours. Receive them by faith. Know they are yours. Say they are yours. Well, I say they're mine. Amen. I say they're yours. Accept them all the time, not just in services. They are my gifts. They are free, and they are yours. I have brought you slowly to this clearing on purpose to give you time to reflect and know and to understand that this is not his highest call for your life. As he has spoken to you, you shall walk in manifested glory that requires the transformation to love. There are many clearings up ahead where you shall arrive as you follow my leadership. But this is the first one, for he desires now that the rescue of his sheep begin. Your responsibility is not camp in this clearing, but use these gifts as tools as you progress to the next clearing. Each clearing will be the next level of the transformation to his image. Stop at no clearing. Take what you find there, incorporate it, and move on to the next one. This shall be the method all the days of your life, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, it was amazing. I was amazing today because I got an email, and someone emailed me just they'd received from the Lord. Kirsten, why don't you come up here? I want you to read that little something the Lord gave you. It was pretty amazing to me how it even fit after you heard yesterday's message. So,
testing.
Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Glory. Welcome, Kirsten, everybody.
Hey guys, Happy New Year.
Hallelujah.
Okay, wow. Oh, that was so good. Just trying to take it all in here. Is this on? Okay. How many of you know the bride has made herself ready? She makes herself ready. And it takes 100 to get to 100. The other day I was in prayer and just heard the Lord speaking this, so I wrote it down. Just felt like talking to myself, like Pastor says, as well as all of us together corporately, all of us in this together. Just said, I hear the Lord saying, have not many teachers, for you need not that the world teach you. Be careful who you follow, be it on social media, TV, friends, day-to-day life, etc. Be careful what you allow to consistently pour through your eyes and ears into your soul. For though it seems harmless, it is not. For whether it be consciously or through default of osmosis, you are being conformed to what you continually behold. Are you continually beholding the world, or are you beholding my word? Are you beholding vanity, or are you gazing upon my beauty? David said, oh, that I might gaze upon his beauty and inquire in his tabernacle, that I might offer sacrifices of praise. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, looking unto Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on him, that you may behold the beauty of the Lamb, not the beauty of the world, not the beauty in magazines, sports idols, makeup tutorials, not the beauty in TV, not Instagram. Solomon said, all is vanity. Paul said, I count it all but dung for the excellency of knowing him. Peter said, you are called to be a peculiar people, one who do not take part in the things of this world. I hear the Lord so strongly saying, now more than ever before, you must be more aware of what and how much you are putting through your soul instead of me. For though you live in the world and have to see and hear enough things that you can't control, there is still so much you can. There is still so much you can do to offset the noise and distraction of the world. I would not have told you to set your mind on things above if it was not possible. Learn to exercise your senses. For how much you saturate your soul and meditate upon me is your choice. How much of your soul are you trading without even realizing it at the cost of revival? How much are you unintentionally, let alone intentionally, allowing yourself to be conformed to the world? Vanity, the ways that seem right to a man, all of these things on a daily basis instead of my word, instead of Christ being formed in you. Have you traded living the life I called you to for all the pointless, trivial, unfruitful nonsense this world is offering, instead of losing it all for the pearl of great price? Do you not know that you've been bought with a great price? Stop selling cheap and playing the harlot when it comes to the things of the world. For I have espoused you to one husband, and I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. And you ought not be an adulterous people. For I am coming back for a pure and spotless bride, one that is untainted by the world. For I said in my word that those who play with the world yet claim me are adulterers and adulteresses, and have no place in the kingdom of God. My little children, you are to keep yourself from idols and put away childish things. Put away everything that does not cause you to bear good fruit. For every branch that does not bear good fruit will be cut off and thrown in the fire. Think not that my words are harsh, but know that I am your Father who loves you, and I desire you to grow up into me, that you might bear much fruit. For it is my great desire to see you flourish. For I am calling my people to come up higher, not in commands and religion, but in love. So come out from among them. For did I not say I would bring you before kings and work many mighty things through you? Did I not say I would take the foolish of this world and call them wise, and bring to nothing those who claim to be wise? Who is it that is wise among you? For though the world would call it foolish to take the narrow way, I call those who are ready and willing to give it all up for me wise. Remember the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, and remember the pearl of great price parable. For to seek wisdom above all things is where my glory is where I am. For I am one with wisdom, and I am in the narrow path. I am in the unpopular. I am found in the opposite direction of the things of this world, and I long for a generation to be one with. So say not in your heart, yes, but these things in life in and of themselves are not particularly sin. Hear my words, for to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And anything you love more than me is sin. Yes, it is not all sin, these things of life, but the fact that you would even ask this question as though you want to live just over the line shows just how deceived you really are. So ask yourself, why are you not hungrier for more of me? Why are you more hungry and trying to make excuses of why you should be able to keep things in your life that are of this world? My word says, taste and see that the Lord is good. How much of my goodness have you truly tasted? Does the world taste sweet to you? What table have you been feasting at that you've lost the taste for me? For the truth is, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve me and walk in the lust of the flesh. You cannot drink of my cup and partake of devil's. It is diametrically opposed. You cannot walk in the Spirit and fulfill the lust of the flesh. You must not be double-minded, or you will receive nothing from me. Therefore, take heed according to my word, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Don't be deceived and live after the vanity of your mind, for after all these things do the Gentiles, the world seek. For I gave my instructions through my word 2,000 years ago, and my word has not changed. For my words are spirit and they are life. My words in you light the path into revival. My words in you will be made Christ made manifest to the world. I need a generation willing to sell out, willing to give it all up for the excellency of knowing me, willing to lose their lives to find me. There must be a bride willing to awake from sleeping, a people who remain watchful and sober at all times. Where are you, my children? Where are you, my bride? For all of creation is groaning, waiting for you to be made manifest. Awake, sleeping bride, awake, for the marriage of the Lamb is coming.
Hallelujah. Was so amazing. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit spoke. It was amazing to me. She had no idea what the Lord was preparing through me to say tonight when the Lord visited her with that. So he continues to speak to all of us. You know, it's intimacy, intimacy, intimacy. And there's no condemnation. It's just like, come on, we can do it. We really can do it. Man, if I had the time, I would want my favorite vision is the one that the Lord, and I just, it's okay to mention names because it's just the way to, you can find it, but the one that the Lord gave Miss Gay when she, many years ago, and we have it still on our website, and it just is the picture of our revival, but revival's predicated on hunger. It's on hunger. If we're going through emotion, it'll be dick. I don't know when we'd ever have it. I mean, I guess any one of us could get close enough that we could precipitate it and bring it into effect. Jesus did, but if you can get a group of people that get real hungry, our services, we go to noon on Sunday. Sometimes I'll go to 12:30, and the people, you know, the people next door are like, man, Pastor, no, they're always nice, but, and you should be conscious. I mean, unless something's going on that takes people, but I'm telling you, people, I'm telling, and I'm not, I know you'll stick with me, I know you will because you're here. But we're headed in some days where, you know, whoever has to leave is just going to have to leave. And nobody's going to be, you know, and the people that stay should not think we're the better ones. But I'm telling you, there's going to be some seeking times out of hunger. We're just going to have to go there for an hour. And listen, I'm not wanting you to quit your jobs. I want you to prosper in your jobs. I want you to make millions of dollars for yourself and the house of the Lord. But I'm telling you, we're going to have to learn a level of sellout like we never have. And part of it's going to be lingering. We're going to have some lingering services. Now, we can't schedule that. Okay, we're going to have a lingering service next, you know, Wednesday night or next. But I'm telling you, when it begins to hit, you got to stay. I mean, nothing can, it's just like, you know, bless God, we're here. Because hunger precipitates hunger. It builds an intimacy. Intimacy, that vision I'm talking about, it's what creates revival. Intimacy creates revival. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you because you're here and you're part of it. And I believe it's your heart. Hallelujah. So let's get ready to endure, you know. Endure some services. I mean, get our we'll rescue the people next door. We'll bring the kids over here. Go get them some pizza or something. I don't know. Or McDonald's. Well, maybe that's not good stuff. Maybe some of you say, no, we can't eat that stuff. I'm just brainstorming. I'm telling you, there's going to be some times where we're camping out. If you read any of the old legacies or history, people got where after a while they got a hunger and they just kind of, they would linger. They'd just pray and pray and pray and pray and stay and stay and stay. And it'd hit. He would hit. Hallelujah. Now, and again, if it's not happening, we're not going to just, you know, it doesn't do it just because you mandate it and say we're going to, you know, have 3-hour, 4-hour services. But I'm telling you, I'm prophesying it's coming. Hallelujah. Stay when it does, okay? You'll want to stay the next service because you'll hear about how good it gets. Hallelujah. Otto and Rex, can you come and prepare for? We're going to have communion. I hope you're going to stay with us and have communion. And then we're going to have, I wish all of you could be here for the fellowship. We're going to have fellowship right after this. But let me speak to you for just a moment about communion. Boy, I don't know about a preacher that doesn't have his King James written Bible in front of him, but I didn't even bring one tonight. Everybody says, oh God, I can't. Let me go to First Corinthians chapter 11. Let me read to you what Paul said. He says, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And boy, you know, again, I have to give the kudos to Gary by the Holy Spirit when he broke some of this a couple of years ago. For this cause, for what cause? Not rightly discerning. It wasn't what kept so much of the church sick and dying. Was there was not a rightful discernment of the price that he had paid for us. Okay? So I'm telling you, there's the couple of guys I was talking about, and there's some ladies in here probably that need some healing in your body. I had a fight this past week. Some of that stuff that's coming around tried to really jump on me big time, right at Christmas, big time. And so I'm just coming out of that, but I've been having to fight it. So it's going, that all that stuff's going around too, but I'm not contagious, okay? I'm in the natural, I'm past that point, and you shouldn't be receiving it anyhow, okay? But I'm good. But I'm telling you, during that time, one of the things that I do is I take communion, because I want to rightly discern the Lord's body. I want to remember, it's just this simple. It's just this simple. Remember that he was beaten, the stripes were taken for the healing of your body. Now that doesn't just get rid of the flu and all that junk, but it gets rid of heart disease, kidney disease. It gets rid of any and everything that could possibly, just discern that, believe that, stand in that. And he took the cup. This cup is the blood in the New Testament. Listen, we're set free from sin. All vices have to go. All vices have to go. Not only are we free from sin, as Dave said, we're free from the cousins. You know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. So as we do this tonight, why don't we just come up here? Instead of having to return to your seat, you can just stand here. We'll receive communion. Those of you, get ready to receive communion with us. This will be, we're not into the new year yet, but it's a prelude to our year that's coming up. So let's all stand together. If you guys can move this, and you guys set the table up. I have the guys move that, and Rex and Otto, if you can come, please. Hallelujah. So you can come, and instead of even returning, just to stand across the front. There's not, you know, a super great amount, but it's a good crowd. So let's all come forward. You might want to pull that back so they have more room. That'd be great, guys. Thanks. So just come up and find a place. Amen. All of you that are watching, get ready to receive with us. We love you so much. We appreciate you being with us all the time. Hallelujah. Homer, I'm walking over to you. You can't see me presently, but you will. But I'm going to bring you the mic. I want you to pray. Just whatever the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to pray over this offering to begin with. So it's on. I think everybody's getting close to being served, but yeah, anytime you feel ready.
Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the truth that brings us and gives us liberty, understanding of who you are.
Yes.
The understanding of why things were done. A true understanding, Lord, that builds true biblical faith.
Yes.
We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit, for our prayer language. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the limbs that we are to partake of, Father, to receive a kingdom outpouring. We thank you, Father, for your body that was broken tremendously.
Yes.
I wish I could fathom completely, Father, this thought, but I can't. But I strive for it, Lord. I strive to put myself there at that moment.
Yes.
When you were beaten to a place. Wow. Take us there, Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Take us there.
Yes.
Put us there at that moment.
Yes.
To behold the image of perfection, the just for the unjust, as he took a beating in silence, just so that your love would be manifested. Thank you, Jesus, for all that we have through you, the healing of our body, free from darkness, walking in grace and peace. Thank you, Father, that we lay down our lives this year.
Yes.
More and more than we ever have, Father.
Yes.
If we want that hunger that Pastor talks about, that hunger starts with obedience, because if we're not obedient now, we will never grow to a place of more hunger, Lord.
Yes.
But as we obey now, and as we give up the things that you're asking now, that breeds more hunger, Lord.
Yes.
If we do not obey what you're asking of us now, we will stay at the present place that we're at, Lord.
Yes.
But we would obey and lay down every single idol, Lord. Lay it all down to go to that new place of glory in you. So I thank you so much, Father, for the blood and your body that was broken. And indeed, we thank you so much. And we give you an everlasting praise, Lord Jesus, for the ultimate sacrifice, Lord.
Yes.
We love you, Jesus, and we thank you.
Hallelujah. Be healed. Receive the body and the blood in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Be healed. Hallelujah. Let it just flow into your body. I command kidneys to be healed. I command eyes to be healed. I command hearts to be healed. I command in the name of Jesus the glory and release the power of the risen Savior in this house, and those that are watching, receive the life of God. Receive this life. Be healed. Healings are taking place. I'm telling you, true healings are taking place. We receive it. Holy Ghost, finger of God, power of God, we receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, I said this the other day, and I said there's no scripture on it. It was just a favorite. One of my favorite movies was First Knight. And I told you about how that Sir Lancelot, when he got ordained as a knight, he said, the thing they said to each other was, they turned to each other and said, brother to brother, yours in life and death. Now, I can't find a scripture on that, but that's the entire New Testament. Brother to brother, yours in life and death. One of the reasons why they had revival is they would die for each other. They loved each other that much. So I turn to you, brother to brother, yours in life and death. Hallelujah. Brother to brother, yours in life and death. Would you go around each other and speak that? Brother to brother, yours in life and death. Brother to brother, yours in life and death. Brother to brother, yours in life and death. Hallelujah. Brother to brother, yours in life and death. Hallelujah. Glory. Yours in life and death. Yes. Hallelujah. Glory.